Raw Health Radio.
Alrighty friends, it is episode number 31 of Raw Health Radio, and today is a little bit of a blast from the past for me because we're talking to someone who was one of the very first people who I ever met when I was in the fitness industry. It would have been almost 8 years ago, I think. She was one of my very first clients and someone who actually taught me a lot, even though I was supposed to be the teacher at the time. So she's the author of How to Be a Happier Mum, which was one of the very first health books that I read, which I loved. She's the author of Cooking with Chia. She's a yoga teacher. She's been on TV. She's been in magazines. She's been all over the place. Her name's Nikki Arthur, and she's on the show with us today to talk about yoga. Nikki, how are you going?
I'm great. Thank you, David.
It's so nice to talk to you again. Now, why don't we start out with a little bit on your story and how it is that you came to do what you do?
Well, I suppose I have to go right back to when I was introduced to my yoga, of course, because it's the core of my business. I was doing bodybuilding competitions, fitness competitions, running businesses in New Zealand, and yeah, I was a little bit out of balance and stumbled across a yoga class, and I'll never forget that first yoga class. I knew I was going to become a teacher, and I suppose at some point it was just waiting for the right time to go ahead and do the teacher training courses and make my dream life a reality.
So what was it that led you to want to go and do yoga? You said you're out of balance. What did that look like?
I was doing a lot of weight training at the time. I was on the whole kind of protein diet, you know, and lifting weights and kind of being in front of the mirror a lot, looking at, you know, trying to get a buffed body, not ever being happy with, you know, probably at the time had quite an amazing physique, but not really sort of being in that present moment of gratitude of how amazing our physical body is. So I felt really out of balance in mind and body, actually, to be honest. A lot of it was nutrition, a lot of it was over training, depleting the body, and then also the mind. So the yoga for me, it's a whole philosophy, it's a lifestyle, it's something that I live my life around, and it's mind, body and soul.
That's one thing I remember talking to you about quite a lot was overtraining. You were quite good at that.
Yes.
I'm not getting you in trouble, I'm just noting that. Now, Nikki, what exactly is yoga?
So yoga, the philosophy, I really love that question, what is yoga? Yoga can be anything. Yoga's the state, actually the word yoga means union. It means the state of coming together with your mind, body and soul. So a lot of people may think yoga means exercise or the actual physical exercise that we do. And many people in today's world, especially today's world, because yoga's growing, it's, you know, the joke I have, it's going to take over the world one day. But it has grown quite fast in the last 5 years. 10 years, it's really grown, and people tend to be drawn to yoga for the buffed body, maybe the flexible body, but yoga means so much more for me, and that's what I get the opportunity to teach in the workshops and the retreats, that it's more about that whole meaning of the word yoga as union, that bringing together your mind, body, soul as one energy. So you do feel a lot more balanced. It's an internal feeling. There's a lot of healing that also is a great benefit from practicing yoga.
Now let's talk about what it actually does, because there are a lot of footy players out there these days doing yoga. That's become a trendy thing. And people are doing yoga for their to increase their flexibility and whatnot, but what does it actually do to the physical body?
There's many things it does on the physical body, if you've got all day. But look, in terms of the football players, they really need, obviously, their output's huge and they do get tight muscles because they obviously have to do the cross training, which is the weight training, and they have to do the sprint training to be fast. And so the yoga really helps them with injuries. It helps lengthen the muscles, obviously, but also really great for football players, building the cartilage, making, you know, around the knee joint stronger, the joints more open, so you're not so at risk of injury. Yoga's also very good for alignment, posture, Achilles, tendons. You know, rugby players get a lot of issues with their legs, their hamstrings, ankles. It's a pretty full-on sport that they play. So yoga will help strengthen your body Very good for all of the finer muscles, the tendons, the ligaments, and it also lengthens those muscles, so obviously they get tight. And yoga is also very good for clarity, for focus and concentration. And I know a lot of golf players practice yoga, a lot of people that need that kind of focus and concentration. The breath that yoga teaches you is amazing. And it's something that, you know, it takes time to learn, the breath and the mind connection.
So let's say if I'm a middle-aged woman and I come into Nikki Arthur's yoga studio and I say, I've heard about this yoga stuff. What can I expect to walk away after this class feeling? What is it actually going to do for me?
Well, straight away, you're definitely going to feel more balanced. You're going to feel more relaxed. In today's world, a lot of people live off cortisol, which is a stress response. We have a lot of cortisol in our bodies because we do, let's face it, whether you're, you know, really healthy, wealthy, successful, you're still going to have an amount of stress in your life at some point. Just living in today's world with the traffic, with the pressure, the fast-paced life that we live, there will be some kind of stress, and we need to learn how to manage that. So when we do the yoga, it really helps you connect with breath. So when we connect with the breath and we slow it down, it's helping slow the heart rate down. It's going to be great for blood pressure. It's going to be great for someone who's depressed or a little bit frantic in the mind. So being a mum, I know how that feels, having two energetic, very high energetic girls. You know, you're giving a lot of energy out. So in terms of motherhood, it really makes you feel more balanced, more calmer, more in control of your thoughts, your actions, your behaviours in terms of parenting. But then there's the other whole thing with yoga and women's health is the hormones, the endocrine system. A lot of the yoga postures work on the internal body. So they're massaging your organs and activating the endocrine system, which makes a woman feel very balanced after a yoga class. That's what you would expect after a yoga class, to feel calmer, more balanced, a bit happier, and maybe a little bit more energized.
Now let's talk about breathing, because that's something that you mentioned. As a trainer, the first thing that I want to know about my client is, what is their breathing like? What kind of breathing do you teach in yoga?
Well, in yoga, we call it the Ujjayi breath, and we use this breath a lot. It's creating heat in the internal body. We breathe in through the nose and out through the nose, but the breath is deep into the throat, so you hear this slight hissing sound, so it creates this heat in the internal body. The breath's really important in yoga. There are some exercises where we exhale through the mouth for pranayama, different sort of breathing exercises. The breathing is really important. So we may inhale to lengthen the spine or the hamstrings, whatever muscle group we're working. And then we use the exhale, the exhalation breath, to deepen. We use our mind to concentrate, to still the mind. So the mind's a big part of yoga. But then we use the breath to lengthen the muscles.
Now, people have probably seen other people doing yoga before, whether it be on the beach or in a gym, or even on the internet, just standing there holding poses and whatnot. What are people doing when they just hold those poses? What are they focusing on?
Well, it's amazing. In fact, I think of this often when I do, sometimes, quite often, I practice my yoga in the middle of the gym where there could be some boxing going on, or, you know, not quite, you know, full-on training. And often it does go through my mind. I don't think anyone really realises until you practice yoga, especially a strong, taut class, how much focus and concentration goes on. You've got to learn to still the mind, connect with the breath, but also when you know the postures really well and you've got a great teacher, there's a lot of dialogue going on. So it might be, for instance, suck your belly in, take a big deep breath, shoulders away from ears, take your right foot up to your left hip, get a nice tight grip. Now pull the knee out, moving it away from the body. So two knees are in one line, two shoulders are in one line. You know, that's that sort of thing. So when I'm doing my yoga, I'm almost teaching myself at the same time to get myself into the position, but I'm fine-tuning the posture the whole time. It makes it very hard, You have to concentrate, especially in a balancing posture, because as soon as you take your mind, if you start looking at someone else in the class or someone else in the gym or someone else in the park or the ocean, you're going to lose your focus and you'll probably, you know, fall over. So you're trying to keep belly in, shoulders away from ears, straight spine, and there's all these things going through your mind, and then stilling the mind while you're in the posture at the same time.
Now, how many people do you think actually have this ability to make their mind quiet and just focus on what's happening with their body instead of watching TV, listening to music, reading a book or something like that? How many people do you find actually have that ability?
I think it's awareness and realizing that ability. Like if you're going to do yoga, watching the TV or doing something, have you got the ability to still your mind and do the yoga, or are you going to get involved in the TV show while you're stretching? And it's like anything. If you want great results in anything in life, we have to learn to focus on what we're doing to get the best results. So if it's hamstrings that you're wanting to lengthen because you're feeling tight, if you're just doing it in front of the TV and actually engaging in the TV show at the same time, yeah, you'll get a stretch, you know, but it's much better if you can, even if the TV was going, that would be okay, because yoga teaches you to become focused, instilling the mind and not being distracted. That's why I can practice in a gym. So there might be activity going on around me, but I'm actually in tune with my mind to my body, my mind to muscle. So connecting the breath to the hamstring and keeping my alignment right and working it that way. The ability to do that takes time and practice, and it takes an understanding of the practice. And I get to work one-on-one with clients now. I've got quite a few clients that have taken the yoga on as a philosophy, and now they can practice. But 6 months ago when they first did it, they may have been talking. I had to, you know, keep reminding them to focus, chit-chat later. It's a bit like personal training, I suppose. The clients want to talk, but really to get the best out of that movement, there needs to be breath, there needs to be focus to get the best repetition out.
So you, one of the notes that you sent me before this show that you wanted to talk about was yoga for the soul. Now, what is the soul, Nikki?
So we talk about yoga being a connection between mind, body and your soul. For me, the soul is, it's your soul, it's your spirit, it's your divine energy that you carry with you. It's source, light, it's, some people might want to call it God, or connect. You've got to feel some kind of connection to something, especially in today's world, because we start to realize and understand that, you know, money's not going to buy the happiness, and you have all the success in the world, but there's still so many people that might be floating around with a lot of success and wealth, but there's still something missing, and that comes from your soul. You've got to feel some kind of connection to your divine energy. It's an energy. It's something that's not tangible. So we have the physical body that we can touch and see, and we can go to yoga and think, wow, I'm going to get a buff body. And we have the mind, which I often refer to being the monkey mind, and learning to still that mind. Then you have your soul, which is, you can't touch it, you can't see it, but it's something that you hold within your heart. And yoga, you may have heard the term heart open, open your heart. So the soul for me comes that I hold my soul energy in my heart. It's something that is, I often sign off on everything I do with love and light, because that's, I believe, feeling connect, you know, first loving yourself unconditionally without judgment and loving others is a connection to your soul, and that soul feeling comes from your heart.
So how do you use that connection with your soul in everyday life then, if not in yoga?
That connection often comes as a, it simultaneously happens as part of a yoga practice. So often we see people who start yoga, and I've been blessed now to see many of my clients transform into this more happy, soul-hearted, beautiful human being. Not saying that they weren't before, but they're definitely more connected to the soul energy. That happens simultaneously when you practice yoga. But, David, I have met many, many people in life who don't practice yoga, like yourself, who's got an open heart and very connected to the community, connected to the source energy, whether they understand it or not. I have an amazing, successful mentor. He's like a business coach to me, yet he doesn't practice yoga, but he has that soul connection with himself. He does practice a little bit of mindfulness and meditation and visualization. But so what I'm saying here is, you know, look, I believe in yoga. I love the philosophy. I think it's great for mothers. It's great for women's health. It's great for football players if they want to keep their physical body intact. But, you know, there are many people that I've met on my path that don't practice yoga but have that soul energy, you know, that joy, that compassion. You know, yoga really taps into that side of it. It's not just a physical thing that you learn with your body. In fact, once you let go of the stress in the body, and I've experienced this many a times on my journey, when you can learn to manage your physical body and you use the meditation and let go of stress in the body actually simultaneously feels more open. The muscles aren't as tight.
Now, you, back in the day, and it's been a long time since I spoke to you, but you were what could only be described as an overachiever. You're probably the strongest woman in the gym. You were taking care of a couple of kids. You're on TV, writing books and whatnot, and working out all the time. Why did you feel it was so important to stop doing the exercise side of things and focus more on this energy creating art form that we call yoga?
Interesting question. For me, it happened naturally. The more yoga I did, the more meditation probably back then, David, and it's a real joy to speak to you because I suppose I have transformed quite a bit since those days in terms of overtraining and having to thrash my body, deplete my body. I don't lift any weights anymore, but the yoga keeps me strong and I know I can go into the gym anytime and probably still push out 15 chin-ups if I want because the yoga does keep you strong. The training, the transformation happened to me naturally. Once I started meditating, it slows you down. It makes you feel a little bit more, instead of push, push, push. And that's why it's given me the balance, because I do have a lot of energy naturally. So for me, I probably was living off, you know, a lot of the time off that cortisol, that high energy, you know. And so the endorphins when I exercised obviously made me feel very good and balanced, but the yoga's given me a whole complete different feel and a different look to my body as well. You know, it's something that I think for me just happened naturally.
So what about nutrition? How have you found that your nutrition's needed to change since you've found this new sense of calm and peace within yourself?
Oh, again, the nutrition, I like to call it yoga nutrition. That also happens naturally. When you meditate and practice yoga a lot, one of the first things that you do find you don't need is, I don't need to drink alcohol anymore. So it's been 6 years probably since I saw you last that I've drank alcohol. I was tempted with the glass about a month ago and it took me 2 hours to drink that glass. And I felt...
That's a long time, Nikki.
I felt the effects of it. But okay, so once you calm your body down through the yoga meditation, the other things start to drop away without realizing. So you don't feel like you need the sugar fix or the processed sugars that you may have reached for or the little habits that you may have gotten overnight. Through the night, you might have got into little habits of having ice cream at night, or mine was always a bit of dark chocolate with a peppermint tea. It was like a habit. But then over time, the more meditation, the more yoga, things were dropping away, in fact, so much that I realized I hadn't had the need to eat chicken or meat or, you know, so I've become vegan, and then I got really involved in writing my vegan books. It's yoga, nutrition is a way of life, and it's about eating wholesome foods that are connected to nature. And if you go back to the yoga philosophy that yoga's been around for ancient years, many years, that it's all back to plant-based foods, raw, plant, live-based foods that are good for your body, that are going to make your body strong, going to help your body be flexible. In fact, I believe the dairy and processed foods tighten the body up. It glugs the body up. It makes your body feel tighter.
Agreed. It definitely does, and I see that all the time. Now, what about creativity? How does yoga help that out?
It's amazing for creativity. When you actually do give yourself time to stop and meditate and breathe, it helps. You've heard of the chakra systems in the body?
I work with them very closely, yes.
Yeah. So you've got your seven chakras in your body, and it helps open up all those chakras. So, you know, you've got your crown chakra. Your creativity chakra lies in the stomach. So when we start to breathe, a lot of women, a lot of mums hold the stress in their stomach, blocking creativity. That creativity can mean different things for different people. You know, you may have been a painter or an artist when you were younger and loved it and felt really happy when you were painting. Become a mum, no time to paint, you know, living very busy life, and that's where that soul, heart, joy can be lost. So I think starting meditation is a fantastic way to get a bit more reconnected to yourself, a bit more in tune with who you are as a person, what you love doing, and what makes your heart sing. And getting back to those things that are creative to you. For example, I had no idea I loved writing books so much. So that's my creativity. I love to write a blog. I love to sit down and just let my mind go and write. You know, there's many mums that lose that creativity around children. It's important that we get back to it, because our children want us mums to be happy. They want you to be happy.
That's true. Now, for everyone out there who's listening, who might be thinking, I'm not sure if I should go and do yoga or not, what would be some of the signs or some of the things that people might be experiencing in your life that would make you think, yeah, this person would definitely benefit from yoga? Would it be, you know, not being able to get to sleep because they're so stressed out, or having tight shoulders all the time, or what's going on there?
I see this every day, and I have to learn to be non-judgmental when I meet people. But I definitely meet a lot of, especially a lot of mums, a lot of women, and it's not their fault because they're juggling so much. You know, they're at home, you're juggling so much. So what I tend to see that I think yoga would benefit a lot of people in today's world is the use of vocabulary. That's one of my first things I will pick up. So the words might be, oh my God, I haven't got time, and my son's stressing me out so much, and I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and my husband's not home from work, and I've got to pack, or I'm not ready, or there's just this continuous kind of so much to do, or not happy, or looking at more the negative than the positive. So I think that's a good sign that living in a busy world. Someone with a digestive system that's, you know, got tummy issues going on, I definitely come across a lot of that with women feeling bloated, or there's just anything that goes on in the body is usually internal, and it's either coming through stress, nutrition, or mind creating a toxic body.
So where do people start then if they're hearing what you're saying and it's resonating with them? Do they need to go to a class of yoga, or, I mean, what can people actually start doing to work this into their lives?
Yeah, well, look, it's a really good idea to get started by just going along to a level one yoga class. And there's many yoga classes wherever you go now. In most towns, cities, you can find a yoga class. I do believe it's about finding the right teacher that suits you. My style of teaching may not suit everyone. And once you find a teacher that you connect with, or the style of class that you connect with, it shouldn't really be about the teacher. One of the first things that my yoga guru teacher taught me 16 years ago now, so I've been practicing yoga for 16 years, is it's not about the teacher. The teacher's there to facilitate you through the postures. If you can take the judgment away from the teacher, you can have a peaceful, amazing experience through yoga and whatever yoga class you go into. Problem is, that takes time to learn as well. So usually at level one, when you're getting started, there's a lot to take in. There's the breath, the postures, the movement. And some women find it really hard getting in and out of the postures because their body is tight. So my advice is to get started, go to a class. Don't judge the first class. Allow the journey to unfold and give yourself time to learn how to get in and out of the postures. And learning the breath, you know, that takes time as well.
So what would be maybe three points that you could give some yoga newbies out there to think about if they're practicing, whether it be in a class or off something that they've seen on the internet or wherever it might be? Would it be, you know, try and relax your shoulders or focus on breathing deeper? What have you got for them?
Three things, definitely. Number one, no judgment. Okay, so not judging your body. Don't judge the teacher. Just try and focus on your breath being number two. Focus on your breath. And number three, let go of distractions, the monkey mind. So the teacher's not explaining it properly, or I can't do that, or, you know, just try and be in the present moment, go through the postures, and no judgment.
Mm. Why do you think it is that people get a monkey mind? Is it their ego getting in the way, or?
Well, we all have an ego, but we live in the Western world and we are so overstimulated by technology, iPhones, Skype, all sorts of things going on. So a busy mind, ego, the monkey mind, it flits from thought to thought, and that's okay. All of us will. I still meditate on a daily basis, but I still have a monkey mind because I'm stimulated by, you know, so much stuff around me, my children, and, you know, I get really excited about my business ideas too, and I want to do it all at once. So yoga's been very, very helpful for me. I still want to do it all at once, David. That'll always be me, but it helps me just take a step back and try and connect with breath and let go of the, it's a judgment, it's another mind. I try and teach that to my girls. It's not really true what the mind is always saying to you.
Mm. Now, you mostly work with middle-aged women, if I recall correctly. Most of the audience listening to this right now are going to be middle-aged women as well. And your first book was called How to Be a Happier Mum. What were some of the things that you wrote in that book to teach people how to actually be more happy, which is the ultimate goal for everyone?
Yeah, I think when I became a mum, that the happiness had to start with me for my children to be calm and happy around me. There's been so many books that have been written about babies and how to look after the baby and feed the baby, but as a mum, you do that. You give out so much to your children, but you need to fill your own heart up, your own body, and you need to look after your temple. I like to refer the physical body as a temple. It's your temple, it's your shell that's going to carry you through life. And if you're not happy, it's very hard for, you know, your tribe around you to feel happiness. So that to me is really, really important to look after your own happiness and work out how you fill up your own heart. And it might be just going to a yoga class once a day to help manage the stress and the busyness of being a mum or being a woman. You know, we have lots of stuff going on, us females, hormones and change, and it's forever changing.
Mm, absolutely. Well, this has been an absolute delight, Nikki, talking to you again and hearing all your wisdom around yoga. You're right, I'm not someone who does yoga, but I do Tai Chi every single day. Never miss a day.
Tai Chi this morning, David. We'll have to get together. Tai Chi, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. That sounds amazing. So your website, Nikki, is nikkiarthur.com.au. For anyone out there listening, head over there and have a look. See what Nikki's been up to. It's been a pleasure, Nikki. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your time. And it's been great to reconnect with you, David. And all the best with all your business developments too. You're doing a great job.
Likewise. Thank you, Nikki. One more thing before I head off, for everyone out there listening, I know it's been a while for those of you who saw on my Facebook a couple months ago the 5 Ways to Heal Your Hormones in 5 Weeks program that I was filming with Joe Rushton. We had to bin that because the footage was a bit blurry. We refilmed it today. That'll be in your inboxes soon. And don't forget to check back next week. We'll have Lisa Phillips, the confidence coach, coming to share with us a few tips about how to get a bit of confidence on. So thanks so much for listening, everyone. See you soon.
Raw Health Radio.